Perfect. Let's go get this.
We're back into our regular part of our work session for April 25th, 2023.
Okay. Second topic tonight, case number two is discussed. Personnel request for full-time public works and consumer assistance.
Yeah, no, they're out in the hallway.
Oh, okay. They're coming in.
Yeah, Bruce is coming.
He was monitoring, so he should be coming down right now.
Okay, here, Prince.
Very good.
No questions.
All right.
All right.
Just like pause. Is it always something?
That's his way of showing he needs an assistant.
So to keep him on time? Johns, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Mr. Riley? It's nice to see your shining face.
Mr. Risby,
that's not on Facebook. We're holding up grandkids.
Okay.
So as I said, case number two is to discuss personnel request for a full-time public works administrative assistant. Mr. West.
Good morning. Thank you. So, as most of you are aware, some probably don't have full history on this. So, I've been working in the position as Public Works Director, as interim Public Works Director the last half of last year, and then since January as Public Works Director without the interim tag. So, I've had going on almost a year to sit over Public Works and watch things and try and learn what the needs are of different folks, what needs are being met, what needs weren't being met. And of course, when I took on the position, the existing Public Works Superintendent, Grant Reamer, we had several meetings where we took a lot of his duties and he was full-time, I was full-time, so he parsed his duties out. I obviously couldn't take everything that he was doing on and do two full-time jobs, so we spread the work around, so a lot of it went to Mr. Riverblood, a lot of it went to the supervisors, some to the leads, some to the admin assistants. So some of the work was, was just kind of spread around. And since that time, it's become apparent that it isn't a sustainable model. It's been a lot of work, especially on the supervisors. They've been doing a lot of tasks that are more administrative in nature, and while it might have been a good learning experience, it's definitely not a sustainable model. So what I put on the sheet in the case in front of you, it's, I don't know, somewhere in the order of 50 bullet points of things that are being done by others at Public Works that are more administrative in nature and could be done by the administrative assistant. The current administrative assistant at Public Works spends a great deal of her time working on parks and rec scheduling the facilities and helping people with those reservations. So it's a great deal of her time. I'd say somewhere around the 80% of her time is spent on that. Doesn't leave a lot of time for all these other things. And admittedly, the position is not... as far as addressing all of the walk-ins, the emails, the phone calls, those have been really ramping up in recent years. The expectations of the public, I guess I would say, are increasing. People seem to have a greater idea that the city ought to be doing or should be doing some more things. I don't know if that's a result of people, relocating here from more in the metro where you have cities that have larger staff Maybe they provide more services, but the expectation is that we should be doing some things that we don't currently do. And so our phone volume, our email volumes, are those things are really increasing, and the current administrative assistant doesn't have time to take all of those on, plus do what she's currently working on. And honestly, I would prefer that those duties be passed on to someone else. So again, it's a laundry list of items. They're all necessary things. We have a lot of reporting that we need to do with state agencies. Obviously, right now, people are filling out their own grant applications for their divisions, things of that nature. The SCADA system, you know, the utility supervisor monitors that and responds to all those, or the on-call person. But all of the reporting and stuff, that's really not falling back on an administrative assistant where it ought to be. So this, again, is just a list of those tasks. And I know that there's some that are not on that list that we will be discovering as we move forward. But based on the volume of all of these tasks and the load that it's put on the existing staff and the fact that this is not a sustainable model, I would recommend hiring a full-time administrative assistant for Public Works. That person would then be the front and center, watching all the walk-ins, greeting guests, answering the phone, responding to emails, and then addressing all of these tasks and whatever else is deemed necessary on the side. The wages are attached to your case. Right now, we would propose to, we're asking to go out and recruit for this position immediately. So, in the case, it lists the impacts for a 2023 budget impact. If you were looking at a step one of benefits, it'd be a little over $36,000. If you're up at step six, depending on qualifications, it'd be a little over $43,000 for the impacts to 2023. The position would be paid for out of a break out of different public works funds. What I would recommend you look at initially would be a breakout of about 30% streets, 30% utilities split between sewer and water, 15% storm sewer, about 5% snow and ice, and then 20% parks. That one could possibly be pared down a little bit since our current administrative assistant is pretty much doing all parks work. So again, just a rough tabulation of what I would propose at this time, but they would be paid through all of the different public works funds. So that's just a quick introduction. And with that, I guess I would stand for questions unless Slasher or Administrator, they can have any input.
Well, Mr. Rusty, I had, you know, when we put the interim tag on both you and Mark, one of the things that we were concerned about is that we were going to be overloading you with too much to do. And when we took that off, it seemed like things were going okay, you were handling it. But now you're coming and telling us that really we need more help. So that's what I had asked of your, you know, an honest, evaluation of where we're at. And I appreciate you coming forward with us, because it doesn't do us any good if we're not servicing our constituents in a good way, the residents.
I definitely see the need, and I appreciate that. I know we're pre-budget cycle. Do we know, are we going to be adding a lot more positions, or how this fits into that, request this year? Just knowing we have a lot of things in the budget, and again, I'm in favor of this, but just how is that going to fit in with other requests within the budget?
Councilor Speck, as far as 2023 new staff additions, I think this was really the only one that we thought might happen and continues to be the only one that we expect to happen. Going into next year, there's potentially one in community development, depending on how the rental licensing discussion finishes up. And then sounds like finance department is possibly looking at a position. I haven't heard of
many others. Of course, I think as we all know, the roads and things of that nature, we want to look at something in streets or parks or streets and parks, I suppose, would be probably the most likely ones. But from an overall staffing and new positions, if I had to guess right now, about 5 at the most next year.
Yeah, and I do appreciate, too, I know when we made that change, it was a cost savings, you know, when you had moved over, and so it's a positive thing. So I definitely see the need. I just want to make sure that we're not, and Ms. Riley kind of uses that term, you know, putting ourselves in a position in the budget where, you know, we're just going to, I'll let you speak for yourself.
I was going to say that.
Mr. Riley.
Well, no, and you pointed out two things I was going to say. First, there was an overall savings with kind of all of Grant's wages. So this, I think, is a nice fill-in with that kind of. And I guess, Bruce, I think I heard you say that some number of these are being done by leads that would, by relieving that, that puts more work on the streets, on the parks. Is that right?
Exactly right.
Okay, and then as you said, so not only are we adding to the budget this year, we're also, by doing this, we're adding to the budget the next year even more. So we're building in an increase by making this increase. So we just need to be aware of that.
Ms. Musgrove.
Thank you, Mayor. And I like the fact that you're looking at some of the different departments that the funds could come from. I know that we built in the water increase for the water treatment plant already. So just wanted to, I guess, have that in mind when thinking about that. Just a couple questions. When I look at this job description, I don't know how one person could do all of this. And I'm thinking, I mean, they have to be in different areas at different times. And was there some discussion about where their office would be? Can you talk a little bit about where they would be to do all of these things? And monitoring SCADA, is that something that the technical experience, I'm talking about like onboarding training for that, or would that be something, I would be thinking that would be something that probably wouldn't be in the job description for that person versus all these other tasks that they would be doing, and that's just my overview thought.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Musgrove, so I mean, you're correct. It's a lot of duties. Obviously, you're not doing them all at the same time, so they're come and go. This position would sit at the front desk over at Public Works where the current administrative assistant sits. So, yes, we would have to find a home for that position. Ideally, we would prefer for that to be over at Public Works, which may require another build-out. That would be part of the budget discussion for next year. We do have spaces over here where that person could come and sit in the interim and work just fine. Might be a little bit separated from Mark's. We haven't discussed this yet, but there could be some room over here for that person to complete their duties over the next 6 months. I would prefer for them to be over at Public Works, though. But as far as onboarding and training, I mean, it's these things are all things that you just learn on the job. They're all things that everybody has, you know, you make access to that, the SCADA system, they can get it on their computer, just like they can pull up all the snowplows. Somebody calls and says, has a plow been down my street? They can pull it up on their computer and see when the plow went down that street. So same thing, they can, if a SCADA alarm goes off, they can help with that and help the utilities department with that just from the computer side.
One thing I do like as well, I just read about the grant writing. We're potentially, you know, could bring in some funds as well.
Mr. Stoff,
can you tell me what the year 2 costs are? 80, roughly.
So year 2.
Because this is 6 month numbers, roughly, right?
These are six double. So generally double.
86.
72 to 87-ish.
Okay.
And this is based on single insurance coverage. Is my math right?
No, I think
so.
Thank you, Mayor. So I guess I'd be curious just the added expense of building out for housing the employee at Public Works and what that cost would be, and I guess if there's a way to make it work without having to do that, sharing offices or space or anything, just to not have another added expense down the road.
We have been looking at options, so we have been doing a little legwork already, trying to figure out how that would work. We have a workroom over there with the computer, with the printer, and the plotter, and some other office equipment. We could slide that down the hall into a workroom and convert that into an office. But our rec assistant sits. It's not a very efficient work area. It's open to everybody walking by. So every time someone walks by, it's pretty easy to strike up a conversation and distract the person. So I would want to make sure that we're trying to provide an environment that's conducive to getting work and not being distracted. So, but again, we're looking at those things. So we would try and, of course, keep it as cost effective as possible. But.
So tonight, looking for approval to move forward on that?
Correct.
Consensus?
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's get it going.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We should have it up by the end of the week.
All right.
Okay.
Case number three, considering public park opportunities. We have a special guest here tonight. Mark, let me take the lead.
Mr. Mayor, members of City Council.
Joe, why don't you come up to the
table? Yep. Indeed, the purpose of this topic is to discuss public art, engage Council's interest in pursuing more opportunities for informed public art in and for the community. It's working. So, at the strategic planning last night, we talked in a way about public art, and one aspect of that was the subject of strengthening and enhancing our identity, brand, and image. That's that placemaking, the connected community, all those things that we talked about. We're dabbling in public art right now as an organization. Everything from what council's discussed with the Highway 10 treatments, what that looks like, what that should look like, architecture in buildings, the water treatment plant, what we do in the landscape parks, etc., and even some of our programming, like the holiday lighting, that is in essence public art. Makes those dark winter nights bright and engaging, connects the community, builds memories, and is beautiful. And also, public art can have utility as well. Street signs even can have architectural treatments on there to make them interesting. You know, most of these things are downtown kind of elements. Sanitary sewer castings can be cast specific for the community and make them interesting in the landscape. On the right, many communities do a sidewalk poetry, which is kind of endearing and fun. Public art can be gates and entries. It can be fences, railings. This particular image here on the right has wind chimes in the trees. I think that would be so fun to have on our sidewalks here in our downtown. It'd be very cheap, and I think it'd be just a gas. This I just discovered this afternoon. On the left, it's actually a park sign at Titterwood Park, and it was part of a 2007 playground replacement we did. It showed up in St. Paul's Public Art Ideas list. And it's right here. When we did that particular project, we took a picture of the entrance to the playground, put it on the park sign, so when you arrive to enter the playground, it's literally, you are here. You can see what you're seeing and where you are. And on the back side was this interpretive panel that talked about the environment and Titterwood Park. Streetscapes are a great place for public art. Wayfinding is a very important use for public art. And another example, this is Alpine Park from our 2008 maybe project playground there. And right here, we actually carved a little seat in this granite stone for the children to sit and watch their peers at the playground. And then the talk tube goes to a different part of the park. So
actually sat on that myself.
So public art can be many, many things. This is a page from our concept planning for the waterfront on the right, and an example where landscape and lighting can really create some interesting visual effects in the landscape. Another page from our concept plan, this is the hallway in the proposed waterfront community building. And we have in our possession many hundreds of fantastic photos of Ramsey in Ramsey as part of our photo contest these past 7-8 years. And so one idea, as an example, is we could frame these and they could travel maybe every 18 months from City Hall to the waterfront community building to Public Works and elsewhere. So examples of public art. Element of the bird's eye view, so to speak, of the waterfront on the right is the water feature of the pond that we're discussing right now. The Affinity apartment buildings are here. City Hall is on the horizon as part of the planning for our downtown. As Councilmember Riley will recall, we'd always have talked about wayfinding elements on our main street and the parkway. And so what do those look like? What is the scale of those? What do they cost? And how might they be funded? Are all things that can be developed as part of a public art plan and policy. We talked again last night about connected community. This sentence could very easily be read as connect the community through parks, trails, and art and recreation programming. So, the in full disclosure, there's more than one of us in this room that are on the Ramsey Foundation, and sitting with us tonight is Jill Johns, former council person, as many of you know, and also chair of the Park and Recreation Commission for many years. And she's here as an envoy from the foundation and has been an advocate for the community to look at public art for decades. So at a minimum, I'm following through with my commitment to this longtime resident to ask council if we should explore public art. And with that, I'll stand for it.
Might also want to talk about the foundation's direction. You know, the foundation was responsible for putting the music at the park on the draw, and got that all going, and we turned it over to the city a year ago. And so we've been kind of looking for a new project to head up. So
that tagline that kind of emerged is focusing on facilitating public art, at least for 23 and beyond, and that includes that $8,000 pledge for a public art plan and policy.
And I'm the treasurer, so I'm here to say we are committed to that $8,000. We have it reserved, set aside. As long as you guys go through with the commitment of developing a plan, you know, we're ready to help fund that. For us, it was really important because a big tie-in, too, with the foundation has to do with economic development, things like that. We're trying to foster things that sort of bring that sense of community as for businesses as well as for the residents. And so kind of in our dealings with everybody on the committee, we kind of came up with the focus for the next couple of years is going to be public art is what we would like to see. We think bringing that into the city is just going to help foster those things. You know, going back to Mark's schematic he had of the park here in the core, who doesn't want to have a business or a restaurant or something like that that isn't by that water feature instead of out in the middle of a parking lot if you have outdoor seating and those kinds of things? And whenever you can do something, whether it be, you know, more passive artistic or, you know, with landscape, etc., or something more of a statue or something like that that gives you a just a point of interest or reference. I just think those things make it a more memorable spot, first of all, for a restaurant or business owner or whatever who's looking for a place or a pad or a place to build. They just have that sense that there's a sense of community there when you have those kinds of features. I've done, you know, Mark would love for me to talk about, I've done some traveling, and we love pedestrian cities where you can walk around, and the ones that just sort of capture, we seem to go back to, and some of them are close, in Iowa, in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Michigan, there's cities that we walk through that just have that sense of art, either through the local college students doing things, or they actually have, kind of like our art fair, they'll do something every year. Well, they'll maybe sponsor something with artists that are sculptors or whatever that'll do things, and then maybe they'll purchase something as part of their fundraising effort, which is something that the foundation could get behind in helping to make an acquisition or something like that if we did something along those lines. And the foundation is also prepared to help you sort of with the community engagement side of it. You know, we want to have a booth at Happy Days this year. We'd like to have a booth at the art fair, and we could certainly do some kind of legwork for you as far as getting some feedback from people on what they'd like to see in the community, how they'd like to see that art plan develop, more passive, more aggressive in certain areas or that kind of thing. You know, we'd love to be some kind of helping and assisting with that in any way that we can do that as well. We just think it's important. I just think it's kind of the missing link that the city has as far as forming its identity. You know, you just don't want to be a bunch of cinder block buildings. You want to have something that sort of gives you the heart and soul. And I think that's where the art piece comes in. And whether it's programming with things like the draw or whatever, or if it's, you know, more visual and aesthetic and sort of brings the appeal. We have such good bones in this city with the rivers and, you know, lots of things to play off of and take advantage of, either from a natural perspective, but we also need to enhance that. And we just feel like it's really important for the city to take this next step just to prepare. And with doing the plan particularly, you know, it just sets you up for, you know, grant opportunities if you have a plan in place. It sets you up for so many other things when opportunities present themselves. Like he said with the manhole cover or whatever, all of a sudden you have to put one in. Hey, wait, our plan says we're going to do something a little more dramatic. But if you never put it in place, if you never have a plan, you don't think about it. You just stick a manhole cover on it. So I just think it helps kind of put things at the forefront, and just, you don't have to always do something, but you'll always consider something and then weigh the pros and cons. And that's, I think, what the plan would do for the city. It just sort of helps with that engagement piece too, I think. So anyways, we are, for the foundation, we are committed, and we've held the funds in reserve. If you decide to go forward with doing a public arts plan, we're very much in support of that, and we'll certainly help you with any kind of community engagement or research or whatever you need. We'll fully support you in that and help in any way that we can. That's it.
Questions?
Thank you, Mayor. So as far as the publicly funded art, are you thinking more sculptures and solid art pieces that are, or are you just open to anything and helping in any way, shape, or form?
However the plan shakes out. And it'll be a city plan. We're not going to drive that. We just think it's important that you do it and get a plan in place, because nothing happens if you don't have a plan. So that's the piece that we are really fostering right now. And then it'll become, you know, your plan is going to be community engagement based. I'm sure you have a reputation for doing that and always utilizing those kind of aspects and getting the community buy-in, drawing them in, getting them in where they think things should be and how it should go.
So,
yeah.
Do we have somebody to in mind to do the plan?
Mr. Mayor, we do not. I would just like to point out that in public engagement piece, I think it really is important to hear from the public what they want or what they conceive the city should be doing with respect to public art. I think that's the best way to get it right. In terms of how the plan comes together, I don't know that we have the full capacity at the staff level, and that's why we need the $8,000 for help to develop that plan. How I think we would go about that is develop a request for proposal that just identifies all the deliverables that we would expect a public art plan to have, basically a table of contents. And in that list, I think, would include this, like the City of St. Paul did with the public art ideas list, what they used the acronym PAIL for. I think that's pretty important, because if you looked at that third attachment, there is a lot of really neat things that can be done, and some of it reasonably priced. And then there's some funding available for matches for some of the public art elements. So a list or compendium of where those resources are should make its way into a public art plan. I think where I would shop that request for proposal around would be to some of the academics at our colleges and universities. So ideally, a professor might take that up as a challenge for their semester for their grad students. They may work on as a team under the tutelage of the professor, and certainly looking at all the other park public art plans around the nation and Canada. I think you can, you know, kind of mine those for the best ideas and concepts and tailor them to Ramsey. I don't think this is going to be simple. I don't think it's going to be quick, but I think it's achievable. And I think it also aligns with council's desire to have policies around some of these decisions before they come to us. And so that's an aspect of this too.
Thank you, Mayor. What's the tax revenue of St. Paul, and how much are they investing in their arts program?
Councilmember Hall, I don't know, but it's, I'm sure, a whopping amount.
Yeah. As I'm just trying to think realistically here. I mean, I love arts. I would drive down to Wayzata just to spend time there, so I totally what you get about walkable communities. Yeah. I'm just trying to think, like, just from hearing from residents, I don't see a big call for art. I wouldn't want it to see it turn into publicly funded art. Providing public spaces where private endeavors fund the art and we provide space to make it available, I see a lot of value in that. So I think it'd be neat if the foundation had a proposal of a sculpture or something you want to bring forward, like in I think in North Dakota they have a bunch of bison that are painted, and they put them around the community. It's privately funded art project. They're all painted differently, but the public space is available so everyone can enjoy them. So I guess to me, I like that idea more of a public-private partnership instead of a city of our size with our revenue taking on a massive project that I just think fits communities that are bringing in millions and millions and millions of dollars in revenue every year. So, yeah.
And I guess what I would say to that is I agree with you. And that's why I brought up Sioux Falls. That's kind of what they do, is they have space, you know, where somebody can come in and put a sculpture, and then at the end, a foundation such as ours, or whether it's businesses or whatever, maybe a business even purchases. And there's a lot of examples out there, you know, where it's, you know, more a business. And once you start that momentum going and you show that you care, that those are important, businesses will sometimes do it too, whether it's sidewalk treatment or, you know, how they do their fencing or small things. But if you don't have a plan in place, that's what I always get down to. I just think then you get a hodgepodge, or there doesn't seem to be that importance placed on it, on the aesthetic. And I just think that should be a priority. Just to have it in the background, whenever a project comes forward, you think about it at least, and see if there's an opportunity at that point, and whether the business does it, or, you know, if it's privately or publicly funded.
Yeah, again, one another example, just the snowplows, when we painted those, where the kids come and paint the snowplows. It's kind of fun, just some art out there. I think the aesthetics are important, and I do you know, just even our discussion about adding staff, you know, I think we're at a point now where, you know, we're dumping the money towards the roads, kind of getting a strong infrastructure, so I wouldn't want, you know, it sounds like you agree the thing. I wouldn't want to spend money from our budget necessarily to fund art or to put this in place. But if we have private donations and things like that, I mean, it's fine.
I think what we have, if the foundation gives us the grant money to go out and get the art, the plan done, you know, once the plan is done, that's, we look for opportunities, and maybe that at that point, the foundation goes out and starts the fundraise for a particular project. You know,
we could paint coyotes.
And I do want to make one other point too, is I live over by Elmcrest. I live by Mike. And you know, I go to that art fair every year, and that thing gets bigger and bigger and bigger every year. I mean, people, and the turnouts are great at those things. So I think there is an interest. I think there's a big interest out there from our community. And when you go to the ones in surrounding cities, I'm running into neighbors all the time. I mean, they might not be clamoring and screaming and writing letters like they would about a pothole, because you all got my letter. But if it comes, they'll be happy, and then you will hear about, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad you did that. That's one of those, I'm glad you did it, not, you know, you hear the complainers, not the...
Can we paint the potholes and make them, like, art?
I tell you, there's things on YouTube that I've been watching, and ways to... It'll get there.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Jill, for coming and for the work, for the, you know, the consideration for the... city with the art. I think one of the things that was expressed last night at the strategy meeting was also just the importance of emphasizing roads. And so I think that art is good. I think that the way that it's coming into the city right now with some of the little unique things like the seat we saw at the Alpine Park, the Alpine entrance just itself is unique, that little arc structure. We didn't really have a plan for that. I understand what you're saying as far as like broad concept things, like Coon Rapids has the wire bars across their streets, right? They have these little down, I think it's Main Street, they have horse carts like on metal. So you see some of that art that's kind of built into that.
Notice it.
Right now, I just think it might be a little bit premature in my thinking in the sense of we're considering having trouble with staff, bringing staff on board and staff duties. We talked a lot about that. We had a case tonight about, you know, needing additional staff in public works to do that. And I kind of like the generic way that art is coming into the city with different projects and different things. Like we talked about the art with Highway 10 project. So I'm a little bit more in favor of that process right now. And so although I think this is, you know, great and something that, you know, be more like a couple of years. Right now, I'm going to focus on the things that the city needs with regard to maintaining and doing services that are the basic things right now that I think that are struggling, that we're struggling with right now, try to accomplish.
Ms. Musgrove, this wouldn't be put on staff. This would be something that we would be outsourcing to get the plan done.
And we're fine.
Grants. So it would not be a burden on the staff at this point. And once the plan is here, you know, we don't have to do anything with the plan other than we've got a plan and it's just an opportunity to do something with it. That's something that we come back to council and make the decision at that time. Mr. Riley.
I hear the word plan, which I think is good, but maybe every time we're going to build something or rebuild something, that a consideration should always be, is this an opportunity this time? And maybe sometimes, like our public works, it's tucked away, not a good opportunity, but something that's more marquee that is an opportunity. So I think, you know, make it as one of our steps of consider, is this an opportunity?
Oh, thank you. I kind of lost my train of thought, but I was just wondering how many people in the room are members of the Ramsey Foundation? Like, is there only one, or there's three, so it's four, so we have four people. Yeah, so I just, again, like, I love art, and, like, I love bringing in the arts, and it just, that was a shift for me moving to the community here with having less art, but I just, to Councilmember Musgrove's point, it feels a little bit premature, basically, that we've been underwater so much with roads, so I would love to see, like, with the foundation, is there a way that you can partner with the city and show us what you can bring? Here's a project, here's an art piece we want to bring in, let's showcase it in a public space and just start really slow that way instead of bringing in, here's a plan, and now we have pressure, well, we have a plan here, now we need to start implementing it and spending revenue and staff time on it. I have concerns about that as much as I like art, so I guess I'd like to see a slow start more that way. That's my perspective.
And I did hear Mr. Riverblood mention that it would be staff time, there would be some staff time involved. If we're going to ask somebody else to do it, and here's the funding for it, and here's, I think there is some staff time involved in it. So just to put an emphasis on that, I did hear that.
Thank you, Mayor. I was going to throw out there, if this seems like maybe a good bridge segue or a placeholder, one way to move forward might be for the foundation to have that booth that Jill mentioned at the art fair and maybe other community events, and just ask the community what their thoughts are about public art, or what the community should be doing with public art, or if public art plan is needed. That might be useful. I think it would be important to suggest at that time that that doesn't necessarily mean that there's funding committed to it, but it might be useful to hear from the community if they think that Ramsey is doing enough, or, in contrarily, doing an appropriate job with respect to public art.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Riverblood, I think that's a great idea, but I think you'd get a biased outcome. You're asking people at an art fair if they value art. Of course they do. Can we do that at the ice skating rinks as well, or at the game fair? I mean, I get your point, but I'm just saying, I think that you're going to get a biased view from people who want art. And I appreciate art. I walk around Elmcrest Park, and I see the benches, you know, that people have dedicated. There's no plan. I mean, they just brought it forward. It was an idea. Here's a public space. I want to dedicate a park, a bench. There's two of them there. I believe a young scout has one, and then a family by the name of Lemke has one there. And those are nice little artsy things that when I walk around the park, I'm like, there's a bench here. Somebody thought enough about this park to donate enough money and enough time to invest in a park bench here for anyone who might need to sit down while they're out here. So I do appreciate art. I'm glad that we were able to introduce some things, like I already mentioned, at the Highway 10. I just think right now the city has other priorities. That's just my position.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, I guess just one final suggestion I'd have. I mean, if there's a way to, you know, I know we have some wealthier individuals in the community, so, and developers, and if there's a way to solicit, if they value the community having art and they have the funds to do it, if they want to put some resources to it and donating art on private land, or donating just the art itself, or to your foundation and bringing it in that way, and just trying to think outside the box, right? Because people, you know, make plenty of other donations to charities and political organizations they like. So the funds are there if you can get them on board with that, I'm sure.
Mr. Olson.
Did you respond?
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, we will be doing fundraising and that kind of thing, but that was kind of our point in our discussions, because at first we were thinking, you know, maybe a statue of Mark in the roundabout or something. But what we realized is you have to have the plan, you have to have the city's backing, you know, support, that this is what the city would like to see. This is what, so you kind of got to, you're putting the cart before the horse by raising money to put a statue of Mark in the roundabout, when really you don't have a sense of what. I mean, and that was what our thinking was, is get the plan first, and then once we have that, we'll know areas that maybe are ripe for it, that we could then go back and do more fundraising to maybe either build something or support something or get that community engagement piece of it going. So it seemed to us that that would be backwards if you just tried to get a, you know, piece here and a piece there, and
Mr. Olson.
Thank you. First of all, I want to say that I think art is enormously important in a society. You know, it brings beauty, it brings people together, and it just has a lot of value. To Chelsea's point, I like the notion of the city supporting the structure logistically plan, whatever, but having it funded by private parties or businesses. So if by plan you mean establishing some sort of structure, not necessarily here's what we're going to do, but here's how we would like to see it develop, I would be very much in favor of proceeding down that path, but stopping short of saying we're going to commit a bunch of time and money to it as a city. So I like the idea of having a plan in place. Makes sense to be able to approach businesses and private parties and say, here's the plan, here's how we would like to implement this. Would you like to participate in a piece of that? But all of the funding and all of the activity would come from private sources.
And that's why we need the plan, because without that, we felt it was more difficult to go to those without saying, hey, this is what the city sees. Just like you have your road plans and your park plans and your trail plans, it's not that this is everything that's going to happen, but hopefully within 100 years, maybe it will, you know, and that's what this is. It's just, here's what the city would like to see, and then us as a foundation can go out and try and make it happen, you know, or as businesses come in, we can see if there's a community business aspect of it where we can do the same kind of thing. So, but without that plan, it makes it a little bit more difficult to, that this just sort of gives us backing of the city, but that this is their plan, this is what they've done, they've gone through the public engagement, blah, blah, blah. And now we want to see something in the roundabout, or we want to see something at Elmcrest or whatever. I just think that gives it a little bit more weight when we go out asking for donations.
So there's a proposal from the foundation to donate the $8,000. Is there consensus for us to accept that?
Thank you, Mayor. I guess I'm going to be totally honest. Having worked in the arts before, been a part of a theater, nonprofit, and then it became for-profit, I'm really concerned at the dollar amount, to be perfectly honest. $8,000 is nothing. I really appreciate it, so I don't mean it disrespectfully, but it's really a small amount. And to me, a plan comes like, here's these people, here's the commitments we have, here's kind of our overarching plan, simple or not, whatever it looks like. It just seems to me like people are passionate about art, which is awesome, and we do need art, but I would like to see more structure under it before we say, let's embrace this and take $8,000 and make a plan and feel like we're putting pressure on the staff and we're putting pressure on us to now we need to implement this or take action on it. I'm going to be honest and just say that's just really my concern. I would like to see more heft or weight underneath it first. So I'm not going to support it.
Is there...
Thank you, Mayor. Just for indulging me, one more comment. Mark, you might be best to answer this. If somebody comes now to the city and says, hey, I want to donate a bench, or I would like to donate money to put a sign up at my park, it's, you know, Tudorud Park or Pilcher Park, what does the city do now? We don't have a plan. But what does the city do now? What's our process currently? If you can just talk a little bit about that. I just think right now having a plan, I agree with Councilmember Howell, she states it better than I do, but it's just a little premature with all the other things that we have as priorities for the city right now. Not that we can't do more than one thing at a time. I just think right now this would be kind of indicating to staff, hey, you have to now incorporate this into your thought process when you're doing different things. Like, there, it has to be a part of it versus if it comes along and somebody wants to donate a bench or somebody wants to do something. So can you just talk a little bit about what the current process is right now? And I don't feel like we need this right now. I think as the city grows a little bit more, I think it'll be something that would be appropriate.
Mayor, Councilman, Member Musgrove, just try to keep it really short. As it relates to something like the bench example, recently we had an Eagle Scout, a young woman. She had contacted one of council, and that council forwarded the Eagle Scout email to staff. Marla picked it up, and she worked with that person. On May 3rd, we're going to be planting trees at North Commons, 6 fruit trees there, and she made some signs for the 2 community gardens. And so we paid for the materials and bought the trees. And so it's really straightforward. So there really is a process, but that really isn't necessarily a public art example, and we really don't have public art examples but for that we've just done with as part of park development, and so we're fine there. So from staff's perspective, I think it's okay that we pause on the public art plan, but I also think at the same time it's a neat opportunity for council to consider going down that process. And as stated, I think the public engagement piece is pretty big. We're probably not hearing from the people that are interested in public art like we are the pothole people.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My only concern with it is timing, and I like the idea, and I think, our second case today was a list of things that our public works department have, are overwhelmed with. All right, which includes our parks department. I feel like staff is in that area, especially in parks and things, is, from what I can tell, in the case, is overwhelmed. And I just really want to be respectful and not add something at this point. I love the idea. So if there's something to posit, we get the administrative assistant on staff, they get caught up, because as much as I understand it's going to be an outside consultant, how is that outside consultant going to know what we want as a city unless staff's involved in it? So maybe is that something we can pause and get start some of the early public input things, and then maybe look at it more towards the end of the summer when things get caught up?
I'd like to see a consensus of where people are having a thumbs up to accept the $8,000 for the potential grant opportunity or not.
But without like a tight time frame, I guess.
Right.
That, to your point, it'd be bad to say we can get this done by the end of June, but
yeah.
If we put a reasonable timeline or something like that.
Well, and Mr. Wood, can you talk about the timeline of it anyway? Like, this is a months-long process, I would imagine.
Mayor, Councilmember Westhoff, I would say that practically speaking, because and including the staff time that is needed, regardless of who's working on the plan, I would anticipate that it would stretch out for more than a year. I also think that council could, if the consensus was there, respectfully tell the foundation that they're very interested in the public art plan and hold that thought, hold that pledge, and let's develop how this would work, play out, and then at the same time, maybe staff can be developing those list of deliverables that can include council input on what would need to be essentially within that plan, like some of the things that we talked about relative to how public art is funded. That might be a deliverable, listing the menu of ways that public art can be funded, as an example.
All right, I see a show of hands.
I think we need to wait a little bit.
Absolutely, we've got consensus to move forward.
Thank you. Okay. I'm excited.
Thank you.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Thank you. I think it's going to benefit the community.
Hopefully in the next year or so. We'll get going.
All right. Getting tight on time.
Mayor, just one more item of consensus staff wanted direction on. We have these, what were two beautiful oak trees at Sunfish Lake Park, right in the middle of the park, between the parking lot and the pergola pavilion and the canoe rack. And they died a few years ago, and the Park and Recreation Commission has recommended to City Council that Council consider authorizing that these be the subject of two chainsaw sculptures by a professional chainsaw artist. And the essence of that is that rather than pay to cut them down, rather put them to use as whimsical carvings in the park. And so we got quotes for both removal by professional tree services at about $5,000, and basically for a total of $8,400, we can have a professional chainsaw artist from Iowa, and he's the one that had done the two that you see right there. Really does a fine job. He can carve those and then not exceed amount of $8,400. So basically, instead of a $5,000 removal cost, for $8,400, we can have these in our very prominent Sunfish Lake Park.
Do you have a funding source for that?
The funding source would likely be or should be the Park Trust Fund.
Are we saying specifically the green lady and the elves or whatever? Or could it be like an animal?
No, I don't have it here in front of me, but one of your attachments has the sketches. Okay. And basically, they're two whimsical sketches of a kind of a water figure with a snapping turtle, and a woman with waves, and then the male type is a number of faces. Oh, thank you. Brian's going to share a screen. And then the other feature would have a little gnome, an owl. These would be three-dimensional, so it'd be kind of a discovery sort of element in the park.
What's your thoughts?
For council feedback from the park and rec department, they initially saw these and they were very scary creatures in the initial drawings. Some of the commission members were like, hey, that's cool, and others were like, this is going to be in a park where kids are going to be. And so these drawings are toned down from that. And also there were some changes with regard to the female picture. And Mark, if you can talk a little bit about, are there four options out there still? We haven't decided on which ones, or the two, one's the front, one's the back.
Councilmember Musgrove, the image that Brian has pulled up is one side of these three-dimensional carvings. See the dragonfly on the top. We've got a pike on the bottom. And so this form, this human-like form, is made up of waves to represent the water that's so prominent in the park. And then if we can scroll up or down, we'll see the other side. So dragonfly on that side. We have some faces to discover. And then the next one has a gnome and an owl at the top. And then more faces to discover in leafy. So the first two images that are shown are intended to show the level of the detail. And these would be colored with stain.
If I may continue, Mark, just so. I think that the commission said, hey, let the artist have the design in it. But I was hoping that we could have a little bit more discussion on what our options would be. In the case, it says blue-hued aquatic theme sculpture. Is that just an idea or a suggestion, or will we be getting the blue-themed, similar to the green-themed one that's in the initial pictures, example pictures?
The latter. That was the intention. We went out with a formal request for a proposal, and that's where that not-to-exceed amount of $8,400 came in.
So it would be blue?
Yes.
Okay. I just think the natural coloring or aspect of it would blend more there, but I didn't know.
I guess in the sake of time, are you guys for
So we're really talking like a $3,500 difference. Is that what you said, something about roughly that?
I think there's still more questions.
Yeah, I can't decide without information.
Yeah, I guess I'm not a fan of publicly funded art, number one. And number two, I just think more natural elements. I mean, there's a lot of carvings of tree sculptures and things that tend to be more natural instead of so colorized. I just don't really find them in super good taste and not fond of seeing us fund that. So I'm not supporting it.
I would be in favor of maybe more like an animalist and cool carvings of like birds and stuff. I think these, honestly, I'm not a big art guy. I think they're kind of creepy. I wouldn't want that in my park. So I'm totally against these designs, but I would be open to like, I don't know, like something like, I think normal, like an animal or something.
Mr. Olson, I didn't see you had your hand.
Thank you, Mayor. I just think the natural colorings would endure more over time. You know, like green aquatic. Hey, that looks cool this year. Like a green aquatic is out, you know. And so I just think the more natural colorings of the wood. And I think it's going to be more difficult to find the carvings in them. I'm kind of in undecided with the support of it. But I don't like the coloring of it.
Do you want to take that back? Do you work that proposal and come back to us?
Sure.
Okay. All right, so we'll table that. We'll come back with some more ideas. Okay, future topics. Do we have time to take the book?
I don't have it open in front of me right now, but if there's any questions on future topics, I'm happy to answer them.
I didn't have any questions. I have a comment. Okay. Thank you for putting in the budget information. Looks like we're going to be busy.
We'll be busy. Okay, I'll adjourn the meeting. See you next time.